The world is without hope. The universe is empty and in decay. Learn how God plans to bring liberty and peace to the entire physical realm. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. What is God's people called to do today, and why is God calling only a little flock to do His work? And what is that work? God says His people, that little flock, is being called out of season there, because everybody else is going to be called after Jesus Christ returns. Even those who are dead will be resurrected if they never had a chance to know God, and they'll have that opportunity in a resurrection at the end of the millennium. But what is God leading His people to accomplish right now in His church? Why and how is God preparing them for His work in the future? We need to understand that Christ is working a great purpose in His people. If you look at television or any media today, you will see all kinds of bad news, and you can see it, and you probably sometimes turn away from it because it is so bad. But would you like to hear, really, the greatest news there is in the Bible, and it involves you totally and completely, unless you just reject it all, and we don't believe that is your goal at all. But you need to understand God's purpose for man. What is he bringing them out of this world to do? They're going to be leaders if they follow God. They're going, because He has this great hope. It is just, this purpose for man is filled with hope. You've never ever in your life understood a hope like this, and it fills you with joy and rejoicing. But why did God even create us? Why is man on this earth? Most people simply don't know. And it seems that they don't want to know, for the most part. But in Romans 8 and verse 17, I want to read some scriptures to you here. And we'll see what God is going to do. And we want to then show you how He does it, and how He prepares us, and how He trains us to accomplish this goal. Verse 19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation," it should read, "waits for the manifestations of the sons of God." Sons of God. Verse 21, "Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God," it should read, not children. Do you know and see that this world and the families of this world are in a bondage to corruption? It is really, really corrupt and depraved, and yet men don't think that because they don't know what God's standard is. They don't look to God for what He says. You were created to fulfill Romans 8. And I want to show you just exactly from your own Bible how that is done, and how this Romans 8 vision is so magnificent. And God says that we have to be delivered from this world. Let me read you another quote here from The Incredible Human Potential. And here's what it says. "The creation is waiting for the time of Christ's coming. The resurrection and the kingdom of God, because of creation, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption or deteriorated decay. It is not now delivered. It shall be at the resurrection." This world is not going to be brought out and delivered from its corruption until the resurrection, or until Jesus Christ comes. That is, with the exception of God's first fruits that are called out ahead of time to do a great, great work. But think about this for a moment. This is what man refuses to see. He, as it says in verse 21, that we have to be delivered from this corruption. We have to be delivered from these problems that are out there in the world, and only God can deliver us. It's telling us that you can't solve these problems. That God has to deliver us from this, from human nature, from our own evil ways. God has to do that. And we, Christ is not going to return until almost all flesh is destroyed, he said, or it would be destroyed if he didn't return. Now, what does that tell you about human nature and what that about our ability to solve our own problems? You can read that in Matthew 24 and verses 21 and 22. There's no hope if Christ didn't return. But you see, we have to be delivered, and we don't see that. We don't understand that. That is what is going to solve our problems and prepare us to help Jesus Christ in many ways. Verse 22 reads, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." Do you see a lot of pain in this world? Do you see the whole creation groaning? That doesn't just mean on this earth. It means in the universe as well. The whole creation groans because of Lucifer's rebellion and his wrecking of the universe in many ways. You see all those pockmarked planets and the ugliness there. They're in a state of decay. What caused that? Well, Lucifer's rebellion with one-third of the angels caused that. And God saw, well, hey, they can't do this job. They can't build this universe and make it beautiful. So I'll have to recreate myself in man, because only I can do that. And so God set out to accomplish the greatest creation that even he could create. I'll tell you, this universe needs to be made beautiful and repaired, and a lot of work is to be done. The earth, too, is going to be in a state of decay when Jesus Christ gets here. But I want to talk to you today about the mysterious book of Chronicles, which tells us how God is preparing us to fulfill what it says in Romans 8. The book of Chronicles shows us how all of this is accomplished, and God's first fruits are those that are called out before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says in your Bible that this earth is going to rejoice and blossom like the rose. And that's true also of the universe. That's what Romans 8 is talking about. It's going to rejoice. The whole entire universe is going to rejoice and blossom like a rose as well. And what does that have to do with the people called out today? Well, somebody is going to help Christ do something really magnificent. But how much rejoicing do you see on this earth today? And how much do you see blossoming as a rose? Because there's peace and joy and happiness when God is ruling the earth and the universe. So let's look at this mysterious book of Chronicles. And I'll tell you, show you here how God is going to prepare us for this job in Romans 8. One of the most astounding things about this book is this, its conclusion. The thing that is amazing about it, it concludes with the same words that begin the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, which was written much earlier. Now that really, really astounds the seminaries and places like that, because they don't understand it. Neither do all of the Bible study aids. And I'm going to show you why. Notice 2 Chronicles 36, verses 22 and 23. Here's how it reads. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Eternal spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All kingdoms of the earth has the Eternal God of heaven given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. So God is taking these two long verses and then using the same two verses, which is actually three verses in Ezra and Nehemiah, but he uses the same words for in a book that was written previously. Now, how does that relate to us today? Well, there is a message in this, and it shows that these two books, if you really understand them, are really all one message, one prophecy for this world. And it is prophecy, and you can prove it, and we're going to send you booklets to show you that. It is prophecy for this very end time, and not only that, it's prophecy for the very last era of God's church specifically. And it's only generally for the rest of the people. But it is specifically for the people that are doing God's work today. And you can prove that, and it's not that difficult. And we'll show you how. But if you get into Ezra and Nehemiah, well, what is it all about? Well, it's about the Jews going back after they were captured by Babylon, and then became prisoners of the Persians when they conquered Babylon. And then after 70 years of captivity, God let them go back, some of the Jews anyhow, quite a lot of them, go back to Jerusalem because it was totally destroyed. They had to build up the city of Jerusalem. They had to build up the temple of Jerusalem. They had to build up the wall of Jerusalem. All of that was just there, lying there in ruins. Now, they had to raise up the ruins of that entire city. But today, God is talking to spiritual Jerusalem and Jerusalem from above. They're getting their message from God. And today, God is building up spiritual Jerusalem so that they can help Jesus Christ build physical Jerusalem and this entire earth. And the whole universe, we're going to build it and help build it physically and spiritually. This earth and the entire universe, we're going to make the people have the ability to rejoice, and it's going to blossom like a rose, like beauty you've never seen throughout the entire universe. That's going to take surely millions and millions of years to do. But God says His very elect today are going to lead the world in that project. That is the most astounding news you could possibly ever hear when you think about it. God wants to prepare people today, anyone who will help Him do His work and get to prepare them to lead in that massive project. And it's filled with hope. And how this world needs hope. Look around. How this world does need hope. And God has all kinds of hope for them. Now, if you see this book of Chronicles, and it's the last book of the Old Testament or the Hebrew Bible, and it is prophecy. It was the whole message was taken mainly from the former prophets, and they are all prophecy for this end time, mainly for the last era of God's church just before Jesus Christ gets here. It's all carefully planned by God Himself. This is a rebuilding project. Imagine having to rebuild the whole earth and the whole universe and fill it with help Jesus Christ and God the Father, fill it with spirit beings, sons of God, who are going to bring liberty to this world and to the whole universe. They're going to lead in that along with the Father and the Son. They're going to bring liberty to a universe that groans, to a world that groans because of their sins. They don't know God's way, and they need to know that, and God's about to reveal it to them. But we've had to raise up the ruins even from the church we were a part of before when other leaders took over after Mr. Armstrong died. Daniel 8, verses 11, 12 prophesies that they would cast the God's truth to the ground and just wreck that entire church. And he called up a little flock, a very small flock, to raise up the ruins. Amos 9, verses 11 and 12. Raise up the ruins and learn how God is going to raise up the ruins of this world and the whole universe. He's giving us experience in raising up the ruins so we can raise up the ruins of all things, including the universe and the future. God is teaching His very elect today how to remove that decay and corruption in this world and in the universe, because it's going to be filled with God beings before very long. You can read Acts 3 and verse 21 where it says Christ is coming to this earth to restore all things, not just in the earth, but the whole universe. It's been wrecked too by Lucifer's rebellion. And it's in a state of decay. You can see it just by looking at it in all those pictures that have been brought back from those ventures out into outer space. But Christ and His bride, see, they're going to work together under the Father to raise up the ruins of the world and the universe. We have to learn, well, how do you bring rejoicing and such beauty as the rose throughout the world and the universe? How do you do that? Well, God is teaching His people how to do it now. And we know it works, and you can prove it works. So here we have Lang's commentary saying, the identity at the close of the second book of Chronicles with the beginning of the book of Ezra, especially as a passage, presents no truly satisfactory close for our work. It raises the expectations that some connection exists between it and the latter book. What could it be? And they don't know. Lang's doesn't know. All the commentaries don't know. They don't know. Well, why would Ezra, who wrote both books, why would he put the conclusion to Chronicles as the very introduction, the same as the introduction to Ezra and Nehemiah, which is a book about raising up the ruins, and it's a prophecy that that's exactly what God's people are going to be doing in this latter time, or the latter days, the last era of God's church, just before Jesus Christ returns, which is going to happen very, very imminently. So, this is all about one work, one prophecy. Those two books are really just have one message. That's why they're tied together. And you can't understand that unless you understand it spiritually. You can't do it. And it's all going to be done through that from the throne of David under God's, the Father's direction. And Jesus Christ and His bride will sit on that throne of David and will bring unity to the world. And then it'll be taken out into the universe. And I mean, this after you finish in this world, that's just like the beginning of everything, not the end. So here we have taught for years that Ezra and Nehemiah was a prophetic book. And there are many, many reasons and ways that you can prove that. But all of this is going to happen revolving around the God the Father and His family and the throne of David. But today, see, we're to build God's spiritual temple, the spiritual temple. And all of this building begins in Jerusalem. So, this has everything to do with the key of David and that throne of David, which is going to ruled over by Jesus Christ under God the Father. And if you look in Ezra and Nehemiah, which is if you want to see why it's an end time book, Haggai and Zechariah were the two prominent prophets, and there are booklets from both of those men, and their booklets are focused almost totally on the end time. The earlier era when they were building up Jerusalem, well, that was just a type of what is coming in this end time. Zerubbabel and Joshua are the two main characters, and they are two main characters that are prophesied to be here in the end. That is, their types are going to be here. They are types of end time, Joshua and Zerubbabel. See, we're talking about the whole earth and the universe here. There's 20 chapters in the book of 1 Chronicles about David and his throne and his rule. Why should there be so much about David? Well, because Christ is going to rule on David's throne. It's really the throne of God, but David played a key role, and God lets us know that. And in the Farrar Fenton says that the 2 Chronicles is really just a history of the house of David. It's going to be this house of David. And remember, the last heir of God's church has the key of the house of David. Well, that just unlocks everything about the throne of David. And that is a key God has given those people. So we have a message that's very much related to David. See, it's all one work. And in Chronicles is the last book of the Old Testament, or the Hebrews Bible, and leads right into the New Testament. And why is this so hard to understand? Because it has to be revealed by God, and it has to be revealed through the Spirit of God, and nobody can understand it. The Bible is revealed truth. And God has to reveal it to us, and He has to deliver us, but we don't understand that, and He has to teach us that. It is truly the most amazing and wonderful and majestic story and truth you could ever hear. It's all about raising the ruins. That's what Ezra and Nehemiah is all about. That's what Amos is all about. Really, Amos 9, verses 11 and 12, we have to raise up the ruins. And it talks about the tabernacle of David. What an amazing future we have. What a hope-filled future we have. That's where our laser focus has to be if we're going to be filled with joy and if we're going to be able to rejoice in this world, because there's nothing to rejoice about in this world. There just is not anything. Lang's commentary does make a wonderful statement about David. He says, the author of Chronicles confines his attention to David and the kingdom founded on the promise made to him in 2 Samuel 7. Yes, a promise about David's throne. And only descendants of David would sit on that throne from David on down to the very end. And at the very end, Jesus Christ returns. Now, that's what it's all about. You see, God tells us that the whole earth and the whole universe does not have the liberty and the freedom of God. They don't have that. And so he's preparing a little flock now, and the rest of the first fruits throughout the ages. God is preparing them to raise up ruins, to see how to build and be trained how to build and be a teacher for God, so we can fill this earth with rejoicing. We can fill it with hope and all kinds of beauty surrounding it. That's what this world is about to become, and that's what those first fruits are getting prepared to do to help Jesus Christ make this world and universe beauty from beginning to end. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
The world is without hope. The universe is empty and in decay. Learn how God plans to bring liberty and peace to the entire physical realm. God's master plan is awesome beyond human comprehension. God concluded the Old Testament with an inspiring message about the Key of David and about raising the ruins in our vast universe. It is far more relevant today than at any time in mankind's history. Request Gerald Flurry's free booklet, The Book of Chronicles, to learn how God is preparing a tiny group of people today for universe rule tomorrow. The greatest news is the Bible involves you if you allow God to fulfill your incredible human potential. Before God can trust human beings to raise the ruins in the universe tomorrow, He has trained a loyal remnant of true Christians to raise the ruins in His church today. Request our free book, Raising the Ruins, to learn what happened to God's church after Herbert W. Armstrong died. This is a valuable history book about the seventh and final era of the church. It is the story of a six-year life-and-death court battle between Mr. Armstrong's corrupt successors and the only group that cared enough to fight for Mr. Armstrong's writings. It is the story of where God is working today. You will also receive a copy of Gerald Flurry's free booklet, Ezra and Nehemiah, Building God's Temple. Learn how temple building projects in ancient Judah give insight into our future as universe builders. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request the Book of Chronicles, Raising the Ruins, and Ezra and Nehemiah, Building God's Temple. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.